Father's Day, the day when fathers, kids think about their fathers. You know, fathers have a learning curve too, you know. During the early days, you know, they know pretty much everything when you have kids. And then they get a little older and, dads can't know everything. And then you get to a point where they're not sure dad knows anything. And then as they get older, then dad knew a lot more. Dad's learned a lot in that period of time between 10 and 20. We learned a lot during that time. So we get smart again later on. So, but Father's Day, again, not the biggest holiday, not the phone calls or money spent like Mother's Day. And we all admit mothers are special and they deserve it, you know. Admit that they're a little more sensitive if they don't get it. I'm just being honest. Dads are more go with the flow. It's okay. We understand. It's all right. But fathers are important. They play a huge role in the family. Fathers are the head of the household. They've got the responsibility for the family. They're responsible for the physical, the moral, the spiritual well-being of the family. You know, God gives husbands and fathers the authority because he holds them accountable. You know, they have the responsibility for those things. So that's why they have the authority, because they're accountable to God to make those things come to be. And it's just a huge role if you really think about it, what all that entails. It's a big role, and we need to teach children with the wisdom that we've received, hopefully from God as a father, as a husband. We need to pass that along to our kids. That's part of our role. So I'm going to read just Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 14 this morning. Not a lot of verses, not a lot of passages, just a couple this morning. But Proverbs 4, 1 through 14 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers." So we need to pass along the words we get from God. We need to pass along what we learn, the knowledge and the wisdom we get from the Spirit who's teaching us. And we need to help them with knowledge and help them to gain wisdom and how to use it. You know, wisdom's how to use the knowledge we have. You know, we all have some knowledge, but we need wisdom to use it in the right ways. A lot of times that's generally through our speech, but it's more so by our experience and our examples is how it's passed along. We need to give children a basis to go by, because when they get out into the world, you know, the environment around them is going to try to teach them all kinds of other things. And if they have the basis in their upbringing, then they'll know what choices to make when other things come at them. If they have the knowledge and the wisdom, then they're equipped to handle the trials and the struggles and the choices they're going to face, where people trying to draw them here and there to other things. They're going to have that foundation to make those decisions with. But they have to be taught. You know, stuff doesn't come naturally to us. Maybe selfishness. You know, get a young kid, you know, most of them's first thing is, you know, mine, mine. You know, that's one of the first words, mine, because that's what we are. But we have to teach them a lot of things. We have to teach them integrity. We have to teach them honesty. We have to teach them responsibility. You know, we have to teach them work ethic. We have to teach them compassion and giving back. We have to teach them where they know right from wrong. You know, it just doesn't come naturally. They have to be taught. And we do that by words and our actions mostly, what they see us do. Sometimes that kicks in and we actually see wisdom from our kids and what they choose. There was a young teenage boy who remembered really late on a Saturday night, it was Father's Day, and in a few hours Dad was going to be up having Father's Day breakfast. And it was all, he had a curfew at midnight, and it was close to midnight, so and he just remembered, I don't have a card or anything. So he raced into the 24-hour Walgreens, you know, ran in, and they had two cards left on the whole shelf. They only had two cards, so he chose the one that said, Dad, happy Father's Day from your loving daughter. Well, Dad got up, and Mom had breakfast, and the son came downstairs, and of course, the proud dad opened his card, and he read it, and he said, Son, you sent me a card as if you were my daughter. And the son said, Dad, I thought it was better than my other option. It read, Happy Father's Day, Dad. Now that we're both fathers, wisdom was used. He made the right choice, and we hope our kids make the right choices. And but it's not easy. You know, fathers need to do a better job. You know, we see the failure of fathers in our world, in our society. Failure of fathers, failure of families because they're not in it. We see what happens when fathers are absent, when fathers aren't there. We see what's happened when even they may be at home, but they're still absent. They're not participating. They're not taking control. They're not doing what they were God-given to do. Fathers need to fulfill their God-given roles, and unfortunately, many don't do that. You know, fathers need to be in prayer. They need to have a close relationship with God to handle the day-to-day expectations that they're under and the duties they're supposed to perform, the roles God's given us. You know, it takes help and guidance from the Holy Spirit to be successful. We're not going to do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us so that we can pass those things along. You know, there's a lot of things happening in men's lives. And I can hear moms, wah, wah, wah. There's a lot of things in mom's lives too, don't get me wrong. Moms have a load of things too, but they're different than men. There's just different things, you know, that moms do and that fathers do. They're just different, you know. We even had a guy, in the news lately, get in trouble. He's a football player. He's a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, they had him at a graduation ceremony, and he commented he's basically talking about glad some of them would just be housewives and women at home, and talked about the role that was, how important that was. Well, he has been beat to death by the feminist movement, and when that's what's he talking about? Does he mean we're just supposed to stay at home and we can't be out working and all this kind of stuff? And he's taken all kinds of stuff from all kinds of people, and but he stood fairly strong just by simply saying how important the role at home is, you know, for a mother to take care of, to rule the household. You know, there's a lot of stuff that moms do. There's a lot of stuff that dads do. It's an important role. It's not just outside the home. There's stuff inside the home that's so important for your family, for your kids, to raise them up. And it's just like nobody wanted to hear that part. It was just putting down women that they weren't allowed to be out and about. So he's still being put up with that. So his name's Harrison, I don't know if it's Bucher or Butker, but he's the kicker for the Chiefs, and he's going through a lot. You know, men have time to have to make time for work. I mean, I know women, a lot of women are in the workforce too, but men make time for work and family and maybe in other ways than women do. Sometimes it's easy to mess up priorities. You know, sometimes we throw our priorities around, get them a little confused. Sometimes with finances and responsibilities, we put work first sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, after all, we have to provide for the family. You know, we do need money to spend on food, shelter, transportation, other things the family likes to do. And sometimes it's hard not to put that first, to put that responsibility there. But we know God is first. You know, if we truly know God, we know God has to be first. We know our family's second. And then work comes out down the list. It's after that. But God's first, and then the other things will fall into place. But sometimes we do have trouble with that. But we need to use wisdom in prioritizing those things. And it's not always easy. And that's why we need to be in prayer. Now, that's why we need to seek godly wisdom, something we can pass on. But it's God, family, and work. And if we keep them in that order, if we keep God first, the rest will fall in place. You know, fathers need to be present, and they need to be patient. You know, sometimes after long, frustrating work days, whether you're dealing with schedules, whether you're driving and the people on the road, just dealing with people on the phone or at work and things, it's easy to get a little tense over some things, and it's easy to snap just a little bit sometimes, and it builds up. But we need to slow down our responses. You know, I think I've told you before, you just gotta stop. You know, before that email that comes across that you can't breathe over, you got to just wait before you respond. You got to wait. You give it some time before you answer that. Joni says she knows when the day's not going well because I'm out in the yard picking some weeds for a while. So you just got to get away for a while. You just cannot respond in the moment. Give yourself time. Give the Holy Spirit time to work on you. I read where someone said you need to plan on at least 5 frustrations every day. Then you won't be surprised when they come. So plan on 5, and then you won't be surprised, and you can handle them better. Sometimes we just need to listen. You know, sometimes not talk, not try to fix things, but just to listen to others. You know, that's something God, I think, calls us to do. I think Jesus was a good listener. You know, he listened and always had compassion, no matter what or how tired he was, you know. Yet he was energized with prayer. So it's a dual. That's why we got to be in prayer to keep energized, to keep the Holy Spirit, to keep us going, so that we can be there for others. You know, men need to sacrifice as Jesus did. You know, we need to sacrifice time, talents, and treasure for God and for those we're responsible for. You know, it's not all about us. You know, there's things we want to do, but it's not all about us. We've got responsibilities. We've got people we're in charge of to care for. We need to be available. We need to sacrifice for the needs of others. You know, others need your time. Others need your love. Others need your care. They need to know you're there. Being present, involved doesn't mean when asked a question by the kids, always responding with, go ask your mom. Go ask your dad, or wait till your mom gets home, or wait till your dad gets home. It's not putting it off, it's taking care of it, it's handling it. You know, you gotta be there for your kids. You know, it's easy to come home tired and just want to sit down for a while, but when you got kids, you can't do that. You know, that's part of that responsibility. It's you know, the kids, when they were really little, we was always outside or the living room was a big ball field, so you know, with you know, 2 little ones and dad on his knees, so we always played. It was always either baseball, basketball, or football. You know, football, of course, you had to get from one end of the room to the other, you know, and it was tackle, so we played. Baseball, the bases were little golden books. Set them out, you know, first, second, third, home plate, little golden books, get a little foam ball and a bat, you know, over the curtain rod was a home run. Got it over the curtain rod, that was a homer. So play baseball in the living room. Then basketball season would come. And, you know, they have those little nets that fit over the doors of closets and things, but we learned ice cream buckets worked well. We had the kind of old closet that had the hinges on the outside and stood up a little bit. So if you cut the little hole in the corner of the ice cream bucket, that made a nice little basket, nice little goal. So I think that's why I like ice cream so much. I had to keep us supplied in hoops for the indoors. But we was always playing there or outside. Joanie would mention sometimes, you know, I'm at work, come home, they're waiting on the back of the couch looking out the window to see when I'm home so we can go outside, so we can go play. So sometimes tired isn't an option. It's not an option. But it's not only our duty, but it should be what we want to do, what we desire to do for those in our lives. Spend that time to share, to care for them. We should want to be there and love people. That's being there for them and the things they love to do. You know, sacrificial love is what Christ displayed. That's what fathers are supposed to do. You know, the Holy Spirit's at work influencing us in our decisions and guiding us down the right path. And we need to have the same influence over our family, over our kids. We need to mentor our kids. We need to teach them. We need to do that through words and our experiences and our examples. You know, our examples are going to be followed long after our words have been forgotten. You know, sometimes the words go in and out. But what they see, they'll remember. What they see, they'll remember. So I want to ask you, have you lived in a way that's what they'll remember? Have you lived in a way you want them to remember? Did you teach them that way? You know, how you influence someone is actually who you are. You know, that's the real you, is how you acted, how you lived your life. That's who you are. How did you handle anger? How did you handle disappointment? How did you handle success? You know, all those things, how did you handle those things? That's what people see. It's what kids see. It's what others see. This isn't just for your kids. This is for all those around you. It's your influence on others around you. You know, coaches have a big influence. You know, I've spent time with kids. Randy, others have spent time with kids growing up. You know, whether it's baseball, basketball, or whatever the case, you influence those kids one way or another, whether you wanted to or not. It's the way it is. You were an influence in their life. It was always an honor to do that. It was fun. It's fun to see them to grow and to play and to just enjoy what they were doing. Teachers, a big influence. Again, on kids, raising them up, teaching them what to do, learning. So we all have an influence. We need to be leery of what our influence is, because they're all watching. Somebody's always watching. I'm going to have an invitation in just a minute, and I want to finish with Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." So teach them when they're young. Teach them when they're growing. You know, I think that's a promise. I believe that's a promise from God. If you do your part, they may stray, but they'll come back because they've got that basis. They've got the foundation that's been laid. You know, everybody has their own path. You know, everybody's going to make mistakes. Part of the growing process is learning from those mistakes. That's part of it. sometimes we as parents want to protect them from just about everything. And sometimes to the point of it not being the best for them. Most times the learning takes place in the valleys. Because it's while there you can see the truth that we miss on the mountains. You know, we see the truth. We see somebody was right when we made bad choices. Somebody told us right, we just didn't follow. But we see the truth in the low places. You know, the Bible talks about the prodigal son. You know, all of us have been prodigal sons. All of us have left the father at one time or another. You know, I talk about the earthly father, talked about the heavenly father. We've all left the father at one time or another. We've all chosen our own path instead of his path. And it's in those valley times, as the prodigal son showed, that we realize who he is and what he provides for us. That he only wants our best. He gives us the path to go. He wants to give us everything he has. But like our Father in heaven, we're all waiting for us to return. You know, he's waiting for us to return. His arms are wide open as well as the prodigal son's father. He's ready for us to come back. He's got open arms because he loves us so much. So as we go, again, happy Father's Day. Just say, how have you been influencing those around you? Not just your kids. You know, we're talking about fathers today, but you're influencing everyone around you. Whether it's kids, adults, you're influencing. You're making an impression on somebody. They're looking at you. And they're deciding how to maybe live their life by looking at you. So there's a commitment there we need to make. And it's a lifelong example. It doesn't end. It's a lifelong example that people look at. And a time for sharing what you know with them and guide them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for... thank you for our Heavenly Father that has given us so much, that you provided life for us, that you provided breath for us, that you provided everything we need on this earth, and you've even provided an eternity, Father, that is in place for us in our future. All we have to do is believe in your Son, believe in what you did, have faith, and trust in you. Father, just help us to be influencers. You know, the big term these days is influencers. Influence people to buy this, buy that. Influence people to do this or do that. Lord, well, we want to be influencers for you. We want to be influencers for right. Influencers for your righteousness. Influencers to bring people to the knowledge of your Son and what that means. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing on fathers today. Just strengthen them for the roles you have them made. Lord, for those that are falling short, Lord, we ask you to put good ones in their place. Provide what's needed to those kids and families that need that role model. Put one in there to take that place, Lord. But, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for fathers. We thank you for that means. And we thank you for our Heavenly Father most of all, but we just praise you for the fathers that you put on earth to take care of us while we're here. Lord, we just ask your blessings on them. Just give them a good day today, and we just thank you. Give you all the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.